rather say good morning. If it's okay if I do it in English, because I have the tendency when I do it in Dutch, all of a sudden I will be talking Antwerpian and you won't be understanding me anymore. Apparently, I have that tendency to do. Sorry about the voice, but I think my jet lag is finally kicking in. Ignite last week, the week before that, Sweden, next week, Las Vegas, now in Amsterdam. It's like this is my second home base because my planes are always leaving from here, so it feels like a little bit like home. Protecting your online and on-premises assets, cloud style. It's a long ass title. Yes, I'm saying ass on video. That's cool. Sorry, mom. Out of the box and practices that you normally should think. So it's more than just on Azure backup. It's more on things that you could use Azure for as a backup system, and what you, where you can have additional value out of your Azure subscription, or if you just want a quick start with Azure, these are some things that you can take into account. Right. I am Mike Martin. I'm a Belgian, as you already know. We got acquainted because the room is so full. I work for a company called Kronos, more specifically for the Crosspoint Solutions cluster, where I'm mainly an Azure architect. I'm also an Azure MVP on both infrastructure and development. So both infrastructure and everything which is solution development. If you want to contact me, I got a Twitter account. That's TechMike2Cakes. Be aware, be warned. I have the tendency to tweet and retweet a lot, so people see me as a source of big data, especially in volume. I only do the tweet and velocity also because sometimes I'm really fast, so they say. And there's my mail address too, so that's mike.martin@csps.be. Oh, enough about me. Backup and everything which is related to storage in Azure. Azure is growing rapidly, and storage is the service which is being used the most. Yeah. We talk about storage. Everybody knows what a storage account is in Azure. All right. You do know that there's four things underneath there. You got blob storage, existing out of two different ones, page blobs and block blobs. Page blobs we use more specifically for the everything we use for VMs and VHDs, right? Because we need to constantly write back to those. Block blobs is more like storing large files and giving access to them with the most secure way. Yeah? You do know how to be secure with your storage account, right? What's the one thing that you shouldn't do? I see somebody pointing out. Okay, so if you're doing storage, the one thing that you never should do is put your storage account key into your web.config and put it on GitHub. I own you. I owe you all. Yeah? Then you will be pawned because if you get the storage key, the primary key or a secondary key, basically that storage is mine and I can do whatever I want with it. There was this last year, there was this huge, let's say, scandal about that other kind of cloud player, you know, the bookstore thing. You know, those guys that are also living on the east coast of the United States. West coast. Yeah, west coast. There were a lot of people that did open source projects, and their storage keys can also be linked back to VMs, where we can have access inside then, and that way they could get access to the entire Amazon, yeah, I said the word, the entire Amazon subscription, so they were used for Bitcoin mining. So think twice before you post your appreciate key. If you want to do that anyway, just put it in a key vault. Who never heard about key vault in Azure? Everybody heard about key vault, cool. So put it in there so that way your access to your storage is secure. Yeah? Just keep that in mind. Just a fact on Azure backup alone, yeah, to see how many data we are protecting or Microsoft is protecting, it's almost 16,000 petabytes, which is pretty cool. So many customers and so on and so on. Now, the reason why I'm doing this talk is because storage is something, it's a basic thing, just like networking and just like compute. And these are the three services which are, if you look at the main slide we usually see in an Azure talk, it's the one with all the services lined out, and you see the layers actually visualized. Storage is actually the most underestimated, but also the most used service in the Azure story. Seeing that we also on-prem have a lot of storage that we use, whether it's archival storage or whether it's active storage, we still have this tendency that our data will be growing. We have a curve there that eventually you have about 50 to 60% growth per year. And afterwards, people don't do anything with that storage anymore. You see a lot of activity things in there, and you see a lot of archiving settings there. So this 90% is short-term retention, and everything else is really up there on the curve as an archival part. So that's mostly a local backup thing. So that brings us to scenarios where you can start offloading your data center to your own disks, because disk space is expensive, and in the cloud it almost costs you peanuts, really. So you can actually put that in a better scenario than just this. So let's see. Storage itself, you know that there's already a fail-safe mechanism in place for storage. There's three replications by default. You want to ask a question? Okay. There's three replications by default. So everything that you do in Azure has a triplified replication already. So you copy a file and it will be moved over three different spaces, so that way in three different racks, so that way you always have a fail-safe copy if the underlying service is failing. This is not for you, this is for the services itself. That's a misconcept that most people have when they're doing storage. Oh yeah, Microsoft is taking the backups from me. True, they're making sure that it's resilient and failover for the services that are relying on it, but you don't actually can access these backups unless you're doing for a read access geo replication, then you actually can. So you still need to provide the own mechanisms, or still have to provide some mechanisms yourself to copy your own storage, to make sure that it's failoverable for your own services, for like geo-replication websites, for instance. You can use that with either CDN if it's still accessible, or you can do background syncing through workers or through automation or something like that. So that's something that you need to provide yourself. That's a misconception on Azure storage, that you can access these things. Were you clear about this thing? Or is it something I'm now telling you that you totally didn't know about? I know it's very quiet in the morning, but you can always interact. I mean, it feels like I'm talking to a brick wall now for a second. So, of course, they have geo-replication, so it can go up to 400, 500 miles in geo-replication. And from there out, you can actually, if you do have read access, you can actually read to the other DC if you want to, and make sure that your application is aware about that. There's fault resilient and transient blocks for that. If you're doing development with cloud services or something like that, you need to make sure that you can pick up the storage itself. I'm going to give you a small creation demo on storage, and it's an account which we're going to use in a couple of seconds in another demo that I'm doing. If I can find my browser back. That's the thing. If you're doing demos, you have too many windows open. Here we go. So we have our portal. I was already creating a storage account, so what I'm going to do is go with the resource manager. There's a limitation also on the number of storage accounts that you can have. You know that. In ARM, they will probably go away. But in the classic way, you had a hard limit of 100. You also had the limit on anything else in there, like a limit in sizing in containers, but also the number of VMs that you could place in a storage container, for instance. You do know that, right? That there's limits on everything which is an Azure service. There's actually a very good page on that, which lines out all the limits that you have in Azure on the different services. IOPS are limited in storage accounts also, 20,000 IOPS. Hence why you can only place 40 VMs in one storage account and so on as well. Yeah. So that's also something you need to take into account too. But we're talking about backup scenarios here. So I'm just going to quickly create a new storage account. I'm just going to go for the, as you can see here, this is the zone redundant, locally redundant, geo redundant, and read access. So the bottom one you can actually use as a fail safe mechanism for your applications. The other ones are just for the service to be resilient and to fall over. Yeah. So locally the redundant, that will stay in the same, not rack, but on the same level in the building. If it's in the zone, it will stay in the same building. Because depending on the region, how the buildings are set up, you can have multiple buildings in a data center, yes or no, and that's what these zones are. So locally is really in the same rack space or in the same storage area where you're located. If you're doing geo-redundant, it's between different regions, and then you have the failovers that you can choose yourself. You want to go for encryption now? That's something new. If you want to have safe... safer data in your Azure storage, as long as you don't share your keys, you're good, right? But you now can enable storage real-life, real-time REST encryption, so that way you can have immediately encrypted data in your storage account, which is a pretty cool thing. We've asked for that a long time. There's also an additional way of doing storage. You can either use it as general purpose, or you can even use it now as cold and cool storage. So there's these two things. There's storage that needs to heat it up, to be heated up, or there's also archiving storage, a little bit like the Glacier thing that the other guys are doing, which they had already a long time. And us guys, we had to just tag along and wait until it came out, right? But now we finally are getting there. So, let's see. We're going to use the resource group I've been using all day, and I'm just going to put this one. This is wrong because it should be Norton. There's still room. Come on. Up. Where are you going? North. Here we are, Norton Europe. Up. I'm just going to pin this to the dashboard and create. Validating. Takes a couple of seconds. Voila, validation successful. Here we go. Oh yeah, by the way, is anybody using the dashboarding feature in Azure? Did you know that you can have multiple dashboards? So I created a couple for these demos I'm doing the last few days. So I have one for my storage talk. I had one for my media services talk. And you can actually lay out your entire thing the way you want to do it. So that gives you a dashboarding team. But now there is this new thing called Monitor, which allows you to integrate all the monitoring tools that you have. Application Insights, OMS, Azure Insights, because this thing is called Azure Insights with the dashboarding. So you can actually have metrics all over the place and just integrate them together with logging. Just something that was announced last week and actually is working pretty well for a preview thing, which is pretty cool. But we're working here. So it's still deploying, as you can see, and there we are. Voila. So I made a backup folder, and as you can see, there's blobs, files, tables, and queues. Files is file share, open now for PCs outside of an Azure network. Before that was only inside Azure, but you can now just address it as a normal file share. Downside is that you don't have any granular security. It's all or nothing. Again, through the means of the pre-shared key, so be careful if you're going to use that. Well, that's how easy it is to create a storage account. Now, if you want to do a lot of storage account creations, you're going to do that probably by ARM templates or by PowerShell, which is still my all-time favorite. I hope you all know PowerShell. Cool. Keep up the good job. I always say PowerShell is the language, is the .NET language for the IT pros. But I also believe that developers should learn PowerShell very hard because it can save their lives. And they should be using it already. If they're doing NuGet packaging in Visual Studio, they are already using that. So that's a cool thing. All right, cool. We got that. We're set for the next easy demo. Let's see. I think there's something. All right, cool. But so. We can now also have now start using our Azure environment for backing up our systems. And there's a lot of things that you probably didn't know. There's a since SQL Server 2012, for instance, CU2, so Kubernetes Diff Update 2, we can actually directly back up in a managed way to Azure and use the Azure storage as a offloading mechanism for your database backups. Who knew this? Okay, two people in the room. So that's a good thing. There's also this Azure backup thing that you can use, which is nothing more than updated NT Windows backup system, but in a managed way, which you can either use by through means of Windows backup management, System Center management, so DPM, or the new tool called Azure Backup Server. And the Azure Backup Server is actually, oh, I forgot to set the timer. Okay, good, busy. Let me do it. So the Azure Backup Server is actually a free SKU of DPM. So it's exactly the same functionality. You can do disk to disk to cloud backups, but you can offload your workloads just the way like you do with DPM, and it's in a free SKU. So better start using that. And then there's a third mechanism that you can use from a data perspective, which is something called Store Simple, which does backing up in an archival way. So it uses buckets, which you can apply, and it also exists in a virtual array. So what you have there is you have an appliance which you usually buy or get when you get an EA or a CSP. I don't know if they're gonna still gonna give those things, but you can buy these in different flavors, and they have three-tier storage in there. So that way you can start using the real hot storage in SSDs, where there's SAS drives in there for the colder storage, and if you're gonna offload in archiving, it will immediately offload it to Azure storage spaces, which are encrypted, which are segregated, so you don't really see the data is in there, but you can still get it back through the appliance. And the cool thing is that you can virtualize it, that you can place it into other VNets or in other virtual networks on in the Azure, so that way you get a proximity for your customers, like branch offices and stuff. You immediately get the same access to the same archiving vaults, so that's pretty cool. The deployment model for these things is actually you have a server where you install a backup agent, and then you have a System Center DPM that you can use to steer the backup agents, which is MARS in this case, so my Microsoft Azure Recovery Services agent. Or you can either have a backup server which you install just by using the backup agent also, yeah. But you can also use it immediately now on VMware, where you can immediately back up your VMware VHDs, stuff like that. So it doesn't only work on the file level, it also works on the full VM level. So you have some granularity there. Okay. So this is a cool thing if you want to do on-prem backing up of your VMs, and you don't want to spend a lot of money to tooling, this is a good alternative. Of course, you pay for the storage where you're putting your data in, and that's a little bit more expensive than the normal storage we have. I say a little bit more, it's not like you're paying a gazillion more, but it's the reason why you pay more for it is because there's a managed server on top of that, which also implies OMS, and which also implies some other things like monitoring and alerting and all these things. So it's an additional thing, but there's a good return on investment there. Yeah. Works on a normal Windows server, and you just can immediately back up to the Azure Backup Service too. The cool thing is that it also works on client PCs. So if you want to do file backups of PCs, you want to have a cheap way, management tooling for your file backups on your PCs. If you just have a mobile workforce, for instance, and you don't want them to use, let's say, OneDrive, but you only want them to use an offloading file backup mechanism, that's a very cheap way of doing it. All right. What you can have here is It's you have a good change tracking there because you can see everything which is being backupped. There's a good compression rate here. There's encryption on the fly, in transit and at rest. So it's a safe way of backing up your things. And the admin owns the managed keys, so that way your client doesn't have any access to these storage keys. All right. Time for some demos. Let's see how we interact with some tools like the backup, unlike SQL Server and so on. So I'm gonna use this storage account to back up to my SQL Server. To back up my SQL Server, that is. So this is the storage account that I'm gonna need. Here we go. And I'm gonna open my SSMS. Where is it? Here we are. Escape. Come on. Dee 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 dee. Voila. Here we go. So we have our SQL Server Management Studio, which is actually nothing more than a Visual Studio. I'm just gonna take a backup of my SQL Server database for my reporting service. And as you can see here, in under task, you still have nothing specifically for Azure backup. You only have backup. Yeah. You do have other Azure relationships here, like deploying the database to a SQL database and deploying the database to an Azure VM. But that's not what my interest in lies in. I'm gonna do a backup here. And from there out, you get a normal backup wizard. And the one where it really changes is this thing. So you change the URL, and that will actually point to a storage container which you need to register. So I need to enter my name here. So that's my storage container name. There's a rule in naming the URI, so that's storage container name dot Windows dot co or dot what is it again? I'm always wrong. Wait. I'll show you because I keep forgetting the order. Where's the connection strings here? Lops. Essentials. Here we go. So here's a connection string. As you can see here, so it's blob.core.windows. Just put that in a notepad or in a PowerShell window. That's even better. And everything in storage is being called like that. Is that readable? So there's a certain way of calling your storage. It's storage account name, and then the type of storage you want to call, .core.windows.net, because these are core services. So if you have table storage, it's just changing the blob by tables. Queuing is changing the queuing the blob by queuing, and so on and so on. Files, same thing, right? So that way you can at least have an idea where you're going. So this thing will make that for me specifically. I am gonna need a shared access signature, so that could be your primary key, but it would be better that you have a create a SAS token, but I'm just gonna create a key now. Where are these again? Here we are. And if you're fast enough, you can copy the key. I will delete the storage account anyway afterwards. So I want to create a new container. Here we are. Now you can actually do that. So you can sign into Azure. Oh, who's using Azure with its live ID still? All organizational IDs, all Office 365 accounts. Good. Good for you. I'm doing it a bad way. It's not as bad as using management certificates, because those are sheer evil. But if you're still doing it by live ID, enable multi-factor at least on your live ID, just to fail-safe precaution. And even for your Office 365, also enable multi-factor. It's free for management purposes, so you better be using it for when accessing your accounts. So I need a code now. Voila. There we go. So if I'm fast enough, so that would be. Oh, I need to. Code, so that's 437744. There we go. I'm now signed into my subscription. So I need to select the subscription I need to do, need to use. So that will probably be, I think it's this one. Select the storage account. So if all is well, I should be able to see my storage account in a second. Or it could crash my visual, my management studio. Don't you just love it when demos go just the way you want it? So let's try that again. Probably too many storage accounts in there. Database backup. Tasks back up. Let me just check that I'm writing it okay. So TDS 2016 backup. Backup storage. Just still on the still the key, new container. Let's try it again. Luckily, I'm still signed in, so that's okay. Yeah, I can. That's the wrong one. See? You just get a lot of magic numbers. Damn it. Right. Let me just create a backup in the other account. Doesn't really matter. Come on. Backup. Here we go. So let's try that one more time. URL at TDS. Oh no, 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 I don't need that. I actually have it. It's another, it's a container, it's not the okay. If all is well, yeah. Why? Okay. Now that should be the full. That's weird. I thought it filled it out. Right. Just making sure that I have the correct data. They changed that again because in the past they. Oh no. Okay. Yeah, no, I need the key again. There we go. Right. I'm just going to remove this one. Okay. So when I would start backing up, it will actually back up to the wrong environment. That looks better. Okay. And that thing doesn't exist, of course. I need a container. I need a folder in there. Stupid me. Loves. So I named it. Here we go. That's better. Hoppa. Create. That will be better. Let's run it again. Ah, come on. Data 2016 blob. Try it one more time. Lost again. That's the downside. You always need a couple of windows. Ah, damn it. I'm betting it's too early. Sorry about that, guys. Come on. Here we go. One more attempt. Cannot open backup device. Request is not supported. It is existing now. So why am I... Okay. Forget what I said. Cool. Let's go back to the second part, the backup folder itself. So I have a machine here, which has... which I was trying to install. So the installer is pretty straightforward. It's an... Oh, yeah. You're not going to see it like that, of course. So the installer is pretty straightforward. Just an agent that you need to install, and then you need to download the Vault credentials. Do be aware that if you're using these Vault credentials, they will deprecate after 24 hours. It's a fail-safe mechanism. Why? Because inside there's also a key that will be generated automatically on that storage account, which is lying underneath. So that's a fail-safe mechanism, that a security mechanism that they implemented themselves. So it's based on a regenerating pre-shared key. So that way you always have a safe harbor there. So if you would open that file, and I can actually show you. So there should be one over here. This one. I'm just gonna copy it here. I'm just gonna show edit. Open with. Nope. You can actually see that the cert, there's a management certificate in there which will be automatically regenerated. So hence why you have this. You have the key there somewhere too, if you take a good look. So hence why you need to change this every 24 hours. So if I were to use this one again tomorrow, this will probably fail to validate to my machine. So you just browse, you select the Vault credential, and then it will automatically register itself to the backup Vault services, which are now also in the new portal. It used to be only in the old portal, but we can finally manage it from there out. So if I were to say next, it will now ask me for a passphrase. I'm just going to do a very unsafe save in my documents folder here. Up, here we go. Voila. Next. And this machine will be registered with the Azure Backup service. Now, I'm just going to let that run. I got another machine ready from that perspective already, so that way we can immediately see what this looks like when we want to execute it. So we have here, this looks just like NT backup or Windows backup as we know it now. You can schedule a backup. You can immediately backup based upon the schedule that you have or the previously installed, previously set up backup folders. So if I were to say a new schedule, you can actually have a retention policy in there and so on, which you can either manage remotely or on the machine itself. You can select what you want to do. Stop this backup schedule, you want to have a new one, all the stored procedures, delete it, and so on. So this is because I'm editing one that is already existing. Okay, so you can just make changes. You say what you want to back up. You can add items, you can exclude, just the things that you know from a Windows backup, right? But this can be managed centrally too through the Azure Backup Server. Retention policy, this is the schedule for when it needs to be running. The retention policies, how long they need to be retained, how many weeks, and you can really play granular with these, so that way you have a nice backup approach for your automated file backups. Right. Then the only thing you need to do is to confirm, and then press finish and modify the backup process. So if I were to say now that I was going to press this button to backup now, I would actually start triggering the backup locally. So as you can see, it will open up my... voila, it would start backing up locally on the machine. You can see that it has started. It is running. In the meantime, let's go to our portal where we have our backup already open. And there you can actually see from the backup infrastructure, you see there's a these are the virtual machines that are being backup, and now for the file folders. You will actually see a refresh here, which normally would say in a couple of seconds when it was latest backed up. So that was today at 7:12 a.m. 8:55. Am I on US time or on a different time in my machine? Let's see. Ah, that's the wrong VM. There's this one. Job completed. What time do we have here? Yeah, so it's 7 a.m. indeed, because here you can see it's 6:56. So that's indeed the one from now. We just backed up. You can actually see the recovery points here. So this is the latest one. There's already a total of two. So that way you can always step down from that version which you want to restore. So you can always go from there. So if we would like to restore that, we can now either choose to restore from a, let's say, these are the jobs. If I now want to say recover the data, this server, I can browse for files or can search for the files. There's only one volume that's being backed up. It's going to show me the latest available backup. So let's see if I have anything from yesterday. Don't have one from yesterday. There we are, 5 a.m. And I can actually select what I want to recover from a single perspective or all the perspective, if you want to restore it to the same folder or just want to have a side-by-side comparison. So this is just basically the stuff that you know, right? And you just can restore it from there. Now there's more to it than just file backup. There's also VM backups that you can now do from within the Azure portal. If your VMs are running in Azure, you can actually save from here, do a right-click by the policies that you have and backup or restore a VM. There's a downside, of course, with restoring the VM. You can stop the full backup if you no longer want to have that one. Backing it up will make sure that it will take the entire image of your VM with all the attached disks. It will make a full snapshot out of it, and so that way you can reuse that. Right? So, but that's just basically all the backup stuff, right? I need to keep an eye out for my time. I actually see it's almost time. Oh, really? So what about files and VMs? Yeah, we know we have the three copies, but you're not in control. So what I usually say to people is have inter-subscriptions, have a backup subscription for your blob storage copies. make sure that you copy them all the way to another location and in another subscription. So that way you can manage them separately and you can separate the costs very easily because you want to have a good overview of what is costing what. Now, with ARM coming and ARM support on storage, that is less of an issue now because you can do tagging on there and actually the tagging will help you with the billing too, depending on what you want to do with your storage, of course. You can take snapshots of your data for intermediate backups. So there's a way of doing snapshots in blobs. I don't know if you know that, but there's no real command for it out of the box. If I just can find my area. But you can it's actually a method which you need to call from within objects in the ARM commandlets. As you can see there, this line 18, you see VM snap. It's actually a blob that you read out, and from the iCloud blob which you have, which is an instantiation, you can create a snapshot, and that way you will get a versioning. Now there's an easier way of doing that. If you go into a storage explorer, for instance, like the Azure Storage Explorer, where is it? Here we are. This is a good tool to manage your storage. There's lots of storage explorers available. Dismiss. Today, but actually, if you do a right-click on the here on the storage, it's IO. If you do here, you can actually do. It was here somewhere. Did they move it out again? You can actually create snapshots from here too. But they're gone. It seems that they're gone. Properties? No, they're no longer here. Damn it. Right. If you're sure, there's other tools that can also do that, like Celebrata, who can have an access there. Just basically that kind of tooling exists. It's no longer there. They took it out again. Let's see if I can do it from the actions thing here. No, it's only the leases. Snapshots have. That's weird. Okay. But snapshotting, then for now, just do it by means of PowerShell. It's very easy. Just instantiate the container, the storage account, create a context out of it, and then just start creating the snapshots. And you can have versioning on the snapshots too. Yeah. And then you can start copying these snapshots and recreating your blobs from there out. These are the models again. Since it's already 9 o'clock, I spent too much time in everything else. Some best practices. If you're doing protection of a large number of VMs, IOPS limitations, make sure that you have separate storage accounts. Do some capacity planning there. If you don't want to restore a VM, that's very important. There should be no activity, because elsewhere your overwriting will become an issue. There's other stuff that you can backup, like Azure Tables, same tools as shown before. You can export them and re-import them in Excel, for instance. There's also SQL DB, which you can do. You can have auto exports there, and you can have DACPAX exportation. There's a lot of third-party products, and you can also use tools like Enzo, Backup, Redgate has a couple of good sets. What I usually use is something like this. It's called ShadySafe. Which used to be from Redgate. And they have this nice feature where you can actually take a backup of your SQL databases or towards your SQL databases. You can restore them from an Azure blob or even from Amazon. So that way you can have multi-cloud resiliency. And that's something you should take into account. I know we're all Azure lovers here, but you should take into account that even a cloud can fail. A public cloud, your private cloud, it can fail. So you need still an offloading mechanism which is not in the same area. These tools can actually save your life because it can do a lot more than just syncing your SQL database, but also your snapshots and so on and so on. It can move a full sync from either side, so from files to Amazon and back, from blob storage to files, and so on and so on. So these tools can help you. They're 10 euros a month, so that's not that much, not expensive, but they're actually pretty cool, these tools. So just that you know that that you have a choice there. There's also in App Services is also, did you know that there was a backup feature in App Services too? So if you go to a website which you're hosting in App Services, you can actually have where are they? Boom. Here we are. No. Here we are. So I have to stay this one here. If you go and check inside of the tooling, this can also be done by PowerShell, by the way. You can have here. Where is it? Backup. Actually, I can just start looking for it on the top. That's monitoring. Support. No. I think I passed it already, right? Where is he? There we are. You can actually schedule and back up your entire web application with including underlying services. So even your SQL database, which you hooked up to the connection strings that you put into the configuration page, up to the storage accounts, which are underneath there, and so on. So you can actually use this at your extent and put them in a separate storage account where you can have an offloading mechanism. And you can even use this to restore a full site in a different location. So that way you don't have to foresee, let's say, a traffic manager, but you can just copy the storage to a new location and deploy from there. So this is also a capability that you have out of the box. Copy, paste, backup, these are the things that you can do there. So since I'm running out of time, and I demonstrated most of it, some additional tools. One that isn't on there is automation. So AZ copy is a friend. Also, storage commandlets from the PowerShell is your friend. Just implement them in an automation account and just make a copy every night of your blob storage account through a different subscription, for instance. It's been supported since version 2 of the storage SDK, so that way you can leverage that one too. AZ copy, by the way, is a very powerful thing because it can do a lot more than just copying files. It can upload to Azure, but it can also change files, how they of their act and how they respond. Yeah. Some other toolings, Celebrata Management Studio, ShareSafe, Storage Explorer, which you can find. All the links are here. Veeam is one that I haven't mentioned yet. I don't know if they're sponsor here this year, but they have actually good tooling which can offload to Azure too. So it's more than just Azure backup now, but you also have now had an overview of the pure storage capabilities of where you can use them and abuse them in your, although my demos didn't work for some stupid reason. So I apologize for that in advance. After the facts, I mean. But I'll leave this as a reference so that way you can find all the information back where you expect it to be. Having said that, I'm over my time. I hope you enjoyed this early morning session. It was as early for you as it was for me, apparently, due to all the Murphy things. I still hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you have a great tech days today. Right? Thank you. That went bad.